Okay, so we move tonight to phase two of our encounter with our engagement with these unique mitzvahs of Shemitah's Ksafim. Last week we got a chance to lay the groundwork. Now we're to recognize the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah slo saseh from the Pesukim and Parshas Re'eh. The mitzvah to be shomet the chol, the lav, not to do the reverse, not to seek to collect the chol. As well as the lav that appears later in the Pesukim and that is highlighted in the Mishnayos about Prosbol, which is even beforehand, there's a lav not to withhold alone, not to hesitate, and not to withhold alone because of one's concern about what's going to be with the Shemitah's stuff. As we saw, the Mishnah says that the concern of people violating that second lav is what drove Hillel to develop Prosbol, because he saw that people were indeed withholding the loans. So he said, we need to develop a principle so that people won't violate that lav d'oraisa. And we explored last week the opening, so the Mishnah and Gittin, in addition to the entire parak at the end of Shavuos, you have the Mishnah in Gittin that mentions Hillel's Prosbol in the series of Takanos HaTikun HaOlam. And so the opening sugya, although it's officially about the Drabanan, really got us to the heart of the issue in many ways. And so the Gemara raised the question of Akira's Davar in the Torah, and how do you have a Prosbol is undoing Shemitah, and then if Shemitah is Drabanan, so then how Chazal Ad Misakim Shemitah Drabanan, isn't that violated in Daraisa? And what we saw among the issues that emerged was a three-way machlokas. Harishonim, what the status is, machlokas atanam, and three machlokas Rishonim hadapaskin, what's the status of Shemitah's Ksafim nowadays? So this is a position of the Chachamim, that Shemitah's Ksafim is Daraisa, and this is a position that the Gemara highlights that of Rabbi Hanasi, the Shemitah's Ksafim is not as Rabbanan. We said that maybe machlokas Harishonim, Rashi Tosis, Rambam Raivi, depending on how you read the Shach of Ataria. The issues, the nitty-gritty issues of Cheshbin and Shakav Atariya, we saw gives rise to figuring out how we pass in the Shemitah's Ksafim, the Daraisa or Derabanan. One afkamina we mentioned is in terms of Shemitah's Karkos and the validity of Hetta Mechira depends on whether Shemitah B'Zmanazah is Daraisa or Derabanan. And then we saw the Ramah quotes right that the Shuvah Rosh has. Shuvah Rosh talks about it as phenomenon. That there were those who didn't keep Shemitah's Ksafim whatsoever, and we saw that there was a minority opinion in Rishonim. Although the two major opinions, either Shemitah's Ksafim is Daraisa or B'Zmanazah is Drabanan, we saw there were some Rishonim who felt that Shemitah's Ksafim does not apply to us whatsoever, either a matter of time, that was the position of the Rishonim of Provence, Balamar, took this position, the Raiva at certain times in his life seemed to have entertained the possibility that nowadays, the Bizman Azeb, there isn't even Shvitz Ksafim Drabanan. The whole Takan Drabanan, Shvitz Ksafim, was only for as long as you have a Sanhedrin or Gadol, you don't have that, there's no Shvitz Ksafim whatsoever. That's one approach, that we're at a point in time, and there's no Shvitz Ksafim. The other approach we saw last week was that it's a question not of time, but of place. Some of the late Chachmei Ashkenaz among the Trumas Hadeshim says, well, maybe this Takan Drabanan Shemitah Ksafim only in and around Eretz Yisrael. So maybe we're living in France and Germany, the whole thing is irrelevant. Okay, halacha lamasa, we do assume that Shemitah Ksafim does apply, most probably Drabanan. And with that, we now turn our attention. To begin to dig into the details. We saw last week that in looking at the way the Mishnayos arranged Shemitah's Ksafim, that final parak of Shvias, so the middle of the parak is about this Din Drabanan of Prosbol, and then the beginning and the end of the parak about the actual Shemitah's Ksafim, whether it's Daraisa or Drabanan, but the actual Shemitah's Ksafim. Beginning of the parak, first the Mishnayos about which loans lend themselves to Shemitah's Ksafim. And then the end of the parak is about the procedure. Like, how do you actually, what does it look like? What does it look like to actually let go of loans? So tonight we're going to look at the beginning, And Blinar, next week we may have the chance to look at the end, to look at the process of Shmitas Kafim, and hopefully to connect that with some of the details of Prusbul. Tonight we'll look at that opening question in the parak, which is, now that we know that we have this concept of Shmitas Kafim, we know that we have in our back pocket, we can do a Prusbul, but forget about the Prusbul. Are there loans that just don't even require a Prusbul, that don't need a Prusbul? Are the loans that that don't lend themselves to, that are naturally impervious, min ha-Torah, without any takana of prizbol? And in fact, there are. And in fact, there are. And they more or less divide into at least three different categories. As you saw, if you work on Bechavrusis, you saw there are those that appears in the opening Mishnah. Sometimes there are situations where there's no Shemitah Tzafim because of the category of the chiyuv, the type of mechai, why it is that I owe this money. Maybe I owe the money because it's store credit. I owe the money for some other reason. Salary, there's the outstanding salary. The types of debts that don't lend themselves to Shemitah's stuff. That's number one. The second category is a question of time. Sometimes the timing of the chiyuv is such that it doesn't lend itself to Shemitah's stuff. And we'll get to that very soon. That's the question of a long-term loan, a malva, that's the sugi makas. We'll take a look at it very soon. And then finally, sometimes you have category three, a few different examples where it's not the reason why you have to pay, and it's not the question of timing, but it's a question of the way the obligation is structured. Sometimes there are particular features, the way this obligation is structured, the way this loan is structured, that it doesn't lend itself to Shemitah's Tefen. For instance, there are a few examples of that. If there's a mashka, I lent you money and I took a mashkon, so the mashkon, the Mishnah says, will get in the way of Shmitzah Tzafim. If I lent you money and then I subsequently was Moser Shtaros of the Beis Din, and I handed over those loans to the Beis Din, I handed the Shtaros to the Beis Din, so the Mishnah says there too, that because of the way you restructured the loan, it doesn't lend itself to Shmitzah Tzafim. Gemara goes on to talk about, let's say when we built into the loan, can I build into the loan, making it a sugya masachas makos, and lend you the money on the condition that the Shemitah Tzafim shouldn't apply? Could that be a clause in the contract? Could that be tonight? The Gemara says maybe yes, maybe that, depends how you phrase it. So again, so those are the three categories of the cases that don't lend themselves to Shemitah Tzafim. Either it's the type of mechayev, the reason why I owe the money, or it's a question of the timing of the chiyuv, or the way the tzura of the chov, the way the chov is structured. Yeah.
Is this, are all of these concepts only going back to last week's idea that Shemitah nowadays is only midrabanan, but if it's midaraisa, none of these would apply? Or even midaraisa, these would be exempt from Shemitah?
Great question. Great question. These presumably, let's keep our eyes open as we explore this evening. But presumably, our starting the impression get, at least initially, is that these are all dinim daraisa. These are dinim daraisa, and that even the shmitah daraisa doesn't apply if there's a mashkan. Even shmitah daraisa doesn't apply if Moser shows to the bezin, malva lasur shanim, and so on and so forth. We'll have to see. And one of the points that Minchas Chinuch makes in talking about this in Tafai and Zion, the mitzvah of shmitah tzafim, is sometimes they'll say, well, look at where the Rambam discusses this topic, because you'll remember that the way the Rambam organizes the Mishnah has sort of Prusbul in the middle of the Perek, sort of the actual Shemitah itself in the beginning and the end, the wings. But the Rambam, as well as the Turin Shulchan Aruch, organize it with first the Dinim Daraisa, the core Shemitah itself, and then Prusbul. And the Mishnah kind of highlights that. If you look at where the Rambam puts Dinim, you can figure out, is this just, and well, we're actually going to see that in a little bit. We'll see that location may matter a lot. I don't want to say again, so we say we have sort of these three categories, the type, the reason why I owe the money, the timing of owing the money, and the way the obligation is structured. I want to focus primarily on the first two. I don't want to be more time to talk about everything. I don't want to get heavily involved in the third category of the way the Chov is structured. We'll just touch briefly on one of those. Maybe we'll get back to Prusbul. We'll talk a little bit more about this category. But for now, just one to touch on very, very lightly. A lot of these dinim of type of, you know, chovos that don't lend themselves to Shemitah, a lot of those dinim are Shulchan Aruch, Siman Samach Zayin. It's in the teens. A lot of them are in the teens. Sif Tes, Sif Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav, and so forth. Tezayin, Yud Zayin. That zone is where you have these dinim. So one din of this third category, just worth seeing, they say that's a Mishnah, that Malvas Chaver al HaMashkon. If he took a Mashkon, I took collateral for the loan, I have security on the loan, so then that loan does not lend itself to Shemitah.
Shalmi says, Shalmi says that you have to return the mashkon every day, right? I think Gemara said, if so, what does the mashkon help? If I got to give it back to him, I get it back, give it back, give it back. You know what the answer is? Gets you out of Shrias.
Interesting.
So that's what Shalmi says.
You tell in a situation, the Pesukim Mishpatim, where we have a poor lender,
you
only
lender,
one,
you
and I
go
took
back and says, if I'm, so I'm losing my security if I keep giving it back. Like, I'm becoming the chauffeur. Like, I got to come and go. He says, what does it help you? There's two answers. One answer is that it's
Shemitah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then why is there machlokas on whether the Hetzer, the Yeser Mashko, whether Shemitah might have won that out?
Yeah, so that's what comes up here. So Shulchan Aruch talks about the Mashkon, and that is Sif Yud Beis. Okay, well, there you go. Bav Metzia Perek Tes. You don't have to believe Elchanan, he will show you. Does that mean you have every safer, tucked away there?
You have only one farm ready, I have my farm ready.
I understand. You came prepared. And if you're going to quote your Shalmi and Brachas, you pull that also, or you're only going to quote things you have?
I'm only going to quote Baba Tzim.
Okay, I'm going to quote. Fair enough.
A little Baba Kama if you want.
Okay, sounds good. That's what you have in the volume. Develop. So, yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch does quote this. Did Mavala Mashkon you have in front of you, see if you'd base? Mavala Mashkon is not Meshamit. Mavala Mashkon is not Meshamit. It's a Mishnah in Shvias that fact the Malvah Masna Mashamid, the Gemara in Maseches Shavuos, because we're not Chassidish, we differentiate between the two. The Gemara Maseches Shavuos in Sefer Nezikin has a discussion about how this works, and it's Machlokas Rishonim how to paskin, how to work out, sort of how to tease out how the Shach V'Kayah runs. What the Maskana is, that's the issue that Eric mentioned. When I say the Malva Mashkan is not Meshamet, is that let's say I lent you $1,000 and asked you for security. So you offered me a $300 bike to hold on to. Or did you offer me a $3,000 bike to hold on to? So if you offer me a $3,000 bike to hold on to for the $1,000 loan, so then the whole loan is not Nishma. I mean, you didn't give me a Trek, I don't know, 9700. You gave me a bike. I lent you $1,000. You gave me a $300 bike. Okay. So the question is, how much is impervious to Shemitah? The whole $1,000, or just the $300? I'm holding on to $300 worth of assets. You gave me a bike, so that's a little bit kigavah. It's kigavah. I already began to collect, but I only began to collect the amount of the assets. If the collateral doesn't cover the whole loan, that's the Shulchan quotes machlokas. The machlokas Rambam Rush. How to figure out what's the maskana sasugi? Here's a few days. First, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein mishalim mashi keneged hamashkan." Whatever is the amount of the mashkan doesn't disappear; the rest is gone. Yesh misha omer af hayesra lamashkan misham. The Rosh says, "No, the whole loan." So just a lumda shatiz, and then we'll move on more extensively to other issues. This machlokas harishonim about yes mikinegan amashkon. The Gemara says that the reason why mashkon or malva mashkon lends up to shmitas k'safim is because of the concept of balchov kona mashkon. Balchov is a certain kinyan on the mashkon. So the first date of Shulchan Aruch of the Rambam sounds like that means simply that you gave me a mashkon, so I have a certain hold on it. I don't fully own it. If you pay me back in cash, you can demand to get the mashkon back, but I have certain rights to the mashkon. The fact that if you default on the loan, I'm keeping it, means I already have certain rights to it. It's a little quasi mine, and if so, quasi so that fraction of the loan is already somewhat collected because I have a certain degree of quasi ownership on the mashma. So that's the less robust approach, and that's the position of the Rambam. It's only keneged a mashma. The approach to the Rosh, and no, that even though I have a $300, I'm holding on to $300 bike. And that Shemitah proofs my entire $1,000 loan. So that sounds like it's a more conceptual relationship. The Skirov's Talmud, Yonah Karpolov, has a beautiful piece in his Sefer, his published posthumously, Yonos Elam, where he develops this idea, I think Baruch Barrett a little bit, that there's another way of looking at Bachol Konamashgon, which is to say, it's not just I have quasi-ownership on this asset, and therefore that amount of value is already partially in my pocket. It's that the rush seems to be saying that the fact that I have a mashkon that's only $300 somehow does something to the whole loan. It's not just that I've collected $300 worth, maybe, or maybe it's that more conceptually the mashkon is a stand-in for the loan. It's not just that I have $300, that if you run away, we'll at least have $300. That I can't say a personification, but that's like the mashkon, like it's like a physical embodiment of the loan. The loan is an abstraction. You owe me $1,000. It's actionable, but it's an abstraction. But if there's something physical, if you give me a mashkon, so that's like a physical representative of the loan. That's a stand-in for the loan. So it's not just that, practically speaking, I'm holding on to $300 worth of assets of yours. But you gave me a thing that stands for the loan. So the loan as a whole, the fact that I'm holding a mashkon recharacterizes the loan as a whole. That's what the Rush appears to be saying. So the fact that it's not just I can have $300, you already began to repay the loan as a whole because you gave me a chayfetz that stands for the loan. So that's the position of the Rosh, that's Alpi Pashtus, and Poskim seem to tilt more towards the Rambam. I'm certain the Mechaber presents the Rambam as the primary opinion, and the Rambam, I believe, is most other Rishonim, I believe, align with the Rambam, that it's only Keneged HaMashkon, the more conservative approach. But the more robust approach to the Rosh, it seems to be a more robust Mechudish understanding of Balchov Kol Mashkon.
But the only problem with the Rush is that the Rush was correct. What do I need Hillel?
Great question.
Just give everybody
a Elchanan asked such a good question that it's even better. Elchanan is asking, all of tonight's topics are lend themselves to, right. Well, what does he left him talking for? There are all these other solutions. He had to make up a new dindra abanon. Let it be a mashkon. Let's be the most sure of civil evasion, which again we'll have to get back to. Right. So Rashi thinks that Prusbel is most sure of civil evasion.
Hillel's thing was that he was misakin to do this.
So one approach is that Hillel.
Oh, good.
Right. So there is an approach in Rishonim which does not seem to be a simple reading of the Gemara. That Hillel was popularizing. Here are solutions that you should know you have. The Gemara discusses that in the last paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe some of Yochanan Zakkai's takanas weren't takanas. It's just lacha korban abayis. You had to popularize the din d'oraisa people. And for hundreds of years, we had a base on mikdash. No one remembered what's the din. How do you? When is the old? When is chadosh mutter? When you have a base on mikdash? The Gemara says maybe he just darish v'hiskin. He was just teaching. Here's the din d'oraisa. You should know that this is din d'oraisa. So the Rashi and Tosfos when we get to next week. Yeah, it's a question of Prusbel and most of Shosu Beisim. Alpi Pashas Prusbel is a din d'rabbanon. It's certainly the simple reading of the sugya and daflam lav. It's bothered by that kiras daflam Torah issue. And there are solutions. As I said, there are solutions. There are solutions. How about a mashkin? How about most of Shosu? Alpi Pashas most of Shosu Beisim.
If there's always, it's like we had a question last week. If you're only a way out of it, then you're losing the whole idea of Shemitah Mishmata. So the whole point of this was, Hillel was saying that this is our temporary things to remember that Shvius will be, because if there's always, if you publicize that just always do with a mashkon or always do with this, then forever they'll never, Shvius will never be.
No, it is true. We showed him, said we saw last week that the Gemara seems to say Chazal were Masak and Shmita Drabanan Kechidot Tishtaka. That's true. Why Hillel needs a Masak and Prusbul? So there are many answers to that. The simplest answer is that it's a lot easier to do a Prusbul than Prusbul is more practical than some of these other solutions. Just to give examples. Number one, if you assume that most of Shoros of Lebezin is different than Prusbul, most of Shoros of Bezin means I actually appear before Bezin with my documents. And I hand over my documents to the Bezin, which is a much more robust thing to do. Maybe that's why that works in HaTorah, Prusbul works in HaRabbanan. But it requires, A, that there actually are documents. If it was just a Milval Peh, it's not going to work. And that I have the documents and I'm ready to hand them over to the Bezin, which I may not have them and I may not be comfortable doing that. The Prusbul doesn't require that I actually produce the documents and that I actually move the documents. A Mashkon, Mashkon, now the Shulchan Aruch does say in Sifyut Gimel that Mashkon could be a Mashkon later, Shloba Shal Salva, but the guy has to agree to give me a Mashkon. What if I didn't ask for Mashkon? And what if right now he's not interested in giving me a Mashkon? So now, and why would he? Shmita is coming. I ask for Mashkon. It's like, nice try. Prusbul is something that the Malva can unilaterally do simply. You don't have the complexity of digging up all of your documents, and you don't need the participation of the Lova, who may, again, when I'm making a loan, so at that point, the Malva is obviously holding the chips. The Malva says, I want security, so okay. Those are the conditions. But to get a Mashkin Shol B'Shah Salva is...
But it's a button. In other words, there's certain loans today that are done by front people, and they give them it's a dollar given for a Kenyan for whatever, which is not for now. But why give this in? Here's my loan, here's the loan documents, whatever. Here's $1,000. Here's a button, I need to be magnet. I need to be calling, I'm going to take it back.
Yeah, but what if I didn't take it? What if I didn't do a mashkin? Well, she's a sakin that every single lender should make sure to take a mashkin.
Again, it's a principal issue. In other words,
The lender has to agree to it.
I'm saying that, but the point is, we're trying to come up with a solution that's going to protect the lender, in order for him to facilitate.
Not going to make him feel like he's restructuring his loan.
Whatever. I'm just saying, we do a loan. You say, hey, listen, give him a button, something, shove a pruta. It's a kli, maybe not even shove a pruta, and then make.
Wait a second. Number one, we said Rovi showed him hold.
My question was on the rush, not on the.
You said according to the rush. But the answer
the Rambam is very correct. So if you say that, then it doesn't work. But if the rush is correct, the answer is you could have done that. That was my question.
So you're saying Hillel could have been Masakin, but everyone should always ask for Mashkin.
Ask for
I guess you figure that the
Hillel is post to London.
Right. For Prusbul is much more versatile.
Maybe it has to do with the time where they live.
Right? But you're right. In Akhanami, if the only, there's no chiv to make a Prusbul. If I haven't lent money, or if every loan I've made has a Mashkin, so then, fine.
Maybe his psak is based a little bit on the time he lived, where he lived, where a lot of people were going to just do any shvita. We're going to say shvita is not mishamethes. The rush said I would have stood up and pronounced against it.
Right.
The Torah mentioned this last week, so he tried to make these ways around it so that it would go through. So he's like, well, give a mashkon, and the mashkon goes through the whole thing, not just with the yeser.
Yeah, I mean the rush is rooted in how he reads the sugya in Shavuos. I don't think he's putting the cart before the horse.
But it seems like Hillel's goal is about long before Shvius comes along.
Right.
He wants someone who's potentially going to loan to know that there's an out. Right? To know that there's going to be a way that, okay, I'm worried that, Shvius is going to come into play. Okay, you could do a Prusbul. Right? That telling them now give a mashkon or now be moser shoros of a biz din is not necessarily going to help. I think it's more about the anxieties of the lender.
Look, it's knowing that there's a safety net. What's going to happen if I forgot to get my mashkon? That's a good point. Yes, it's much more. It's much more versatile. And now let's turn our attention to that. That was just sort of a farshpice to warming up. So there is, again, there is this third category of different structures, particular tsuros of the chov, mashko, moser shoros lebezdin, tanai, that sometimes will render my chov impervious to shmitas kafim. And maybe next week we'll discuss a little more about moser shoros lebezdin in conjunction with the next week, the week after, in conjunction with Prisbal. Now, let's go back though, to category. To the question of timing. The question of timing is very fascinating. The question of timing is, they said that the main address in the Bavli for Shemitah's Ksafim is Gittin, Lamed Vav Lamed Zayin, but it's not the only address. And probably the second or third, the most significant address for Shemitah's Ksafim is Maseches Makos. Right at the beginning of Makos, the Mishnayos are not really talking about Shemitah, and that's exactly what fascinates the Gemara. The Mishnayos are talking about the first pair of Makos all by Eden Zoman, and trying to assess, you have an aid, you have a pair of Eden who give false testimony. We demonstrate this false testimony because we can demonstrate they weren't in the right place and time to have seen what they claimed to have seen. So you know the Pesukim in this week's parasha say that the punishment is, and he was trying to stick you with he claimed that you stole $1,000. Now they have to pay $1,000. $2,000. Okay, I gotta figure out the kefil. Right? And he was trying to mechayev you malchus, we give him malchus, and so on and so forth. So the other Mishnah has it, but there are more subtle cases. Let's say they didn't make up a loan that didn't exist, but they came to be made that the terms of the loan are less favorable. The time value of money. That's the mission at the bottom of Makas Gimel Rav. It's a fascinating question. We know that you owe money. You would freely admit that you owe money. But you say that it's a 10-year loan. These Edim came and says it's actually a 30-day loan. Wow. So, again, everyone agrees you owe the $1,000 to Shimon. The question is, do you have to pay Shimon in 10 years? Now you have to pay Shimon in a month from now. So that's, so the Mishnah says, so we need to figure out, now we determine the Eden Zomim, so we're not going to make them pay $1,000, we're going to try to figure out the difference, loosely speaking, difference in the time value of $1,000, where it's only 30 days in the future, versus $1,000 10 years in the future, we'll try to figure out how do we put a number on that difference, a couple hundred dollars probably, and that's what the Eden Zomim are on the hook for. So the Gemara says, 1 second, 10 years. A 10-year loan? 10 years? It's zero. Shemitah comes and goes, at least once, maybe twice. So if it's a halva for 10 years, you don't know anything. You're not going to pay anything because Shemitah is going to come. So the Gemara here has two versions. The two versions of what Shmuel said. Either Shmuel said that Shemitah does impact such a loan, or that Shemitah does not impact such a loan. And as you said, the loan exists, but it's not yet due and payable. It's only going to be due another couple of years from now. So can Shemitah erase a loan? Can Shemitah cancel a loan that isn't yet actionable? And what the Gemara seems to say is what this really gets at is the relationship. Whenever you see Shemitah is one of those cases, as you mentioned before, you have a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. The mitzvah saseh, shamod kabama sheyado, a mitzvah to let go of the loan, and a lo saseh, lo yigosh. It's also for me to collect it. So it sounds like what the Gemara is driving at is that this question about malve chaver l'as v'shanim really is rooted in this conceptual question of how connected are the aseh and the lo saseh. Because because there is no Nagisha right now. I can't. I couldn't seek to collect it. Beis Din would laugh at me. It's not due yet. It's only due in 3 years from now. It's only due in 5 years from now. So the lav is not really in play. So the question is, how about the mitzvah saseh? The Gemara says, that's what the Gemara says. The first version of Shmuel says, well, there's no Lo-Yigosh now, but it's going to be down the line. Which is either a question of the relationship between the mitzvah saseh and mitzvah saseh, or is the Isra Lo-Yigosh Dafka at the moment of Shemitah, or even later on. But I think it's likely that has to do with the Aseh Lo Saseh. So the first version, the Lishnakama of Shmuel, is Shemitah applies. Doesn't matter that the Lav is not relevant. The Mitzvah Seh is relevant. Shamot, you got to let go of this. You have a loan on the books. Got to let go. You got to cancel it right now. And the second version of Shmuel is no. If it's not Nitan Lenagisa right now, if it's not collectible, so then it's not susceptible to Shemitah, and nothing happens. And then 5 years from now, due date arrives, you will be able to collect it. So those are the two versions of Shmuel. Either Shmuel said this type of loan is canceled, or this type of loan is not canceled. And then the Gemara says, either the Mishnah is a kasha against him, or a riot to him. Because again, it said the Mishnah indicates that it's impervious to Shemitah, because you can have, a Jew can make a 10-year loan and collect it. So either you say in a Hanami, you see from the Mishnah that such a loan is impervious to Shemitah, or Acharon's answer, there are solutions. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where there was a Mashkon, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case with Moshe Shosh Lebezin. Who says every case of Mavach, the Mishnah isn't trying to tell me, and that's exactly what I said before, the Mishnah isn't trying to tell me about Hilchos Shemitah. The Mishnah is trying to sketch a particular fascinating case in the world of Ein Zomen. We want to talk about the time value of money. How do you deal with that delta? How do you put a number of that delta? It's not a question of the dollar amount, it's a question of what the time window is. That's what the Mishnah is trying to get at. So however it works. So that's the Gemara said, okay, maybe sometimes such a loan lends itself to Shemitah, but if there's a Mashkon, it doesn't. The most sure shows ways, it doesn't. So Gemara says it's not so clear. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that Mavach Haveri L'Esser Shanim, Shemitah is irrelevant, but you could get out of it. So again, the Lishnakama of Shmuel said Shemitah will impact, Shemitah will cancel, and that normally a Jew cannot collect a 10-year-old loan. And the Lishna Basra is no, it's collectible. So that's, it begins as 2 days in the Gemara. Questions before I go on? Yeah, Mike.
Would Shamot, so somebody has a loan that's not due for 10 years, the Nagisa is not, it doesn't become payable until 8 years later, but would Shamot prevent the borrower from prepaying before the
Zman
of the
Gisa?
In other words, does the lender have to say, no,
I can't take it. Oh, that's an interesting question. So that's really, I want to get to maybe Belinetta next time, which is Mishnah. So the end of the parak talk about the procedure and the fascinating back and forth. The Mishnah is talk about to what extent, let's say the borrower wants to repay, even though Shemitah has come and gone. The borrower wants to repay. Can the borrower can definitely pay before Shemitah comes, that's for sure. The question is, once Shemitah came and went, can he still repay?
Once Shemitah came, but before the period that it's that the
yes, I think either you hold that Shemitah was irrelevant, the Lishna Basra of Shmuel, so it's like any other debt, or you hold that Shemitah was relevant, and Shemitah already canceled the debt, and then, like any other debt that was canceled, there is a process through which a borrower can repay if he so desires, and we encourage him. Okay, so again, Lishna Kama, Lishna Basra. Lishna Kama says Shemitah does work on this loan. This loan is not an exception. And Lishna Basra says, no, this is an exceptional type of loan. This Lishna Basra says, this makes it to our list tonight of those loans that that skirt Shemitah. So the obvious question is how to be paskin. So the Tosas here is very brief. Tosas just says And Bein Tam says Pasak Lishna Basra. That's a simple reading in the Mishnah. And something about Azharas. He did something with Azharas. I'm not really sure if you're coming or going. Tosfos Bava Basra speaks at great length. And the Rosh here in Makkos also speaks at great length and explains, gives you some of the background. They tell you that that is Machlokas early Bali HaTosfos, how to Paskin. The Riva and Rabbeinu Eliyahu, I think it's Rabbeinu Eliyahu of Paris, they were of the opinion the Pasuk like Lishna Kama. And the Riva explains, the Rosh said, the Riva explained that usually that this is a question of Derech Halima. Riva said, when you have a Lishna Kama, Lishna Basra, it's sort of like Shulchan Aruch, the Yeshmi Sha'omer. Usually you assume that the Riva says that the most Amoraim held like Lishna Kama, and Lishna Basra is a footnote. Lishna Kama is the primary position, and they, but there were some who disagreed. But that when you have a Nikida Amri, means that some say, but the majority opinion was the Lishna Kama. So Riva says, if I don't have any indication one way or the other, no maskana, no clear raya, no outside sugya, it's just Lishna Kama, Lishna Basra. Riva says the rule is if I Lishna Kama. That's Kali Apsak. Kali Apsak. Riva held that way, Rabbi Eliyahu held that way. Rabbi Eliyahu was not only a Baal Tosfos who was involved in learning and saying shiurim and Psak Halacha, he was also a poet. So he wrote a piyut. So the Rosh says he wrote Azharos. He wrote an Azhara. The different types of piyutim, there are different categories of piyutim. There are Maravis and Silukim. And one particular type of piyut is an Azhara. Azharos usually refer to piyutim that in poetic form list all the Tariq mitzvahs. A number of Rishonim wrote Azharos. Over the course of a few thousand words, you list all the Tariq mitzvahs. One of the most famous is Rav Sadia Gaon, but by one of the Achronim turned that into a full strength Sefer HaMitzvahs. But there were many. There were a number of Gaon and Rishonim who wrote Azharos. I think many communities for centuries, there are many communities that had the practice to recite an Azhara as a course of the davening on the first day of Shavuos. So it's like an appropriate way to mark Matan Torah. You review all the Tariq Mitzvahs. You take the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvahs off the shelf, it takes a long time to get through the whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. Take the Sefer HaChinuch off the shelf, it takes a long time to get through all that. But you have a piyut that has a phrase per mitzvah, so a couple thousand words, you chazar all the Tariq Mitzvahs. So that was a very widespread practice for many centuries. A minik for the first day of Shavuos. So one of the composers of the Azharis was this Rabbeinu Eliyahu. See, he had a line in which he said, "Zman eser ki alvenu." If you lend money for 10 years, so then there's shmitah. That was l'shitasa. And the Tosafos Bein Tam said that's an incorrect psak, and therefore we should change. I like your poem, but I don't pass out of that line. So I'm going to change that to reflect it in. You have this in Psachim more. I think the Masechta, you have the most references and Tosfos to Piyutim, I believe, in the Masechta Psachim. Because a number of Piyutim that for Shabbos Hadal that tell Din, that review Dinim of Pesach. So every once in a while, Tosfos will call you. Yosef Tuvelam wrote a Piyut for Shabbos Hadal, but he wrote the stuff in Medayik in the poem, Halacha Maisa. Had his own girsa in the poem, but no, it will be inappropriate to cancel. Okay, so that was the poetic reflection of this machlokes. Now there are a number of other rishonim. Even in the Rosh, he presents two versus one. The Riva and the Rabbi Yao pasak lishna kama. The loan does get canceled. Only Rabbi Tam says it's an exception. But as you work your way through other Rishonim, there are many Rishonim who agree. Rabbeinu Tam is a Rov Rishonim. The Rosh himself agrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam explicitly paskins the same as Rabbeinu Tam. Maal v'chaver l'as Rishonim.
But he has a different...
Yeah, okay, good. Good time. And the Sefer HaChinuch in Tafayin Zayin also says, B'teir, not surprised, he doesn't always pass like Rambam, but often in his Halachi Kitzur pass like Rambam. Beis Yosef quotes, the Rif doesn't say anything about this. He doesn't quote either version. So some Rishon or Daik, he doesn't quote any of the Rosh, maybe he means Olach Lush the Kama. Okay, it's hard, or not. Meaning, if he doesn't quote either version, it sounds like there's no special din of Malvach Avera Lash Hashanah. So that would mean that it does. Well, so what does that mean? So where does that leave you? So that's a little bit, depends on Beis Yosef, there's an open of Ben Yochim whole Lenway, others perhaps disagree. Okay, but now, so Elchanan points out, it's worth asking ourselves, why? 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 And the Minchas Chinuch points out, fascinatingly, that there are two different reasons to pass in like the Lishna Basra. In Shulchan Aruch, we do pass in like the Lishna Basra. You have to have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you. You see Sif Yud. Mavus Chavero, Kavalos Manles, Roshanim, O Pachos O Yoser. Shulchan Aruch is reminding you, it's smart point. It's not a din of 10 years. That's the example that the Gemara gave. But the point is just, it could be 2 years. It could be 30 days. As long as the 30 days, you make the loan before Shemitah is over, and it comes due after Shemitah is over. Ein Shviyas Haba, B'Sol Chazman, Misham Tatu. Taha Hashtar Lo Kar B'Lo Yigas. So Shulchan Aruch clearly passing like Lishna Basra. Not surprisingly, like Rebbe Yonatan, and the Rosh, and the Rama, and the Sefer Chinuch. And again, the riff is, we're not sure. So that's definitely how we paskin. But the Minchas Chinuch points out there seem to be two different approaches to why you would say that. Rebbe Yonatan says it right in Tosos here on the Sugya. Look, the simple reading of the Mishnah is Malvah Chaver Lasa Shanim always works. He didn't start saying, and there was a Mashka. Simply, the Mishnah sounds like Lishna Basra, and you look in the Rosh, right in time, and more riots to Gemara here, Gemara there, a number of different riots to indicate. And Tosla, and they're in the Riva, and his riots. Okay. The Rosh has a different approach. The Rosh is something very fascinating. He says, I'm not sure, I have a loan, a 10-year loan. I lend you money now, you'll pay back in 2 years from now. It's only due after this coming Chaktas El comes and goes. So the Rosh says, Machlok is Lishna Kama Lishna Basra, whether I can force you to repay me or not, without a prosbul. So the Rosh says, well, anyway, Shemitah Bizman says Rabbanim. Safed Rabbanim. Safiq Rabban. So Misveika, we're not going to apply Shemitah's Ksafim. Misveika, we're not going to apply Shemitah's Ksafim. How is that striking? Why?
Yeah.
Fantastic. We should call him Yosef Dulitz. He's Mechavim to Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says, what? He quotes this, and he says, what? Let's think about that a little bit. We're not sure whether you owe me the money or not. Because maybe Shemitah worked and maybe Shemitah, if you treat it as a suffix, maybe Shemitah worked and maybe Shemitah didn't work. So why not say Motzim Achayim? So the Rosh himself, addressing a little bit the Beis Yosef more so, says, Beis Yosef says, but the, and he says something very fascinating. He says, the main thing is not the money. The main thing is the Isser. And that's a Drabanan, a Sefrabon Makula. What does he mean? So what he probably means is the following. And this is part of a larger conversation that Mitzvot Chinuch and others have, which is, well, Bichlal, the Shemitah is one of those areas of Halacha. One of those mitzvahs that sort of lies on the boundary between Yisr V'Heter and Dini Mamas. That is this, it has to do with owing money, but it's like a mitzvah, Shemot, it's a lab, lo yigos. It's sort of in this intriguing Bein HaShmashas, this intriguing twilight border zone between Yisur and Ramona. One way of phrasing that is language that Minchas Chinuch likes to use repeatedly in the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim, is who's driving Shemitah's Ksafim? Me or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, let's say Let's say I did collect blood. Let's say Shmita comes in. There was no Purz Bowl. There was no Mashkon. It was just a regular loan. A regular loan. And the Shmita Tzkafim applied. And I did the wrong thing. And I knocked on your door. I said, listen, Bucko, you owe me money. And I made you pay me the money. Even though it was already due before Shmita. And absolutely Shmita applied. Avar v'gava. I violated the din. I be'isur collected the loan from you. So how many things have I done wrong? How many things have I done wrong? Well, I violated a mitzvah say of Shemot. I violated lo sasei of Ligos. Anything else? Or that? If you think of a third mitzvah that I violated. Well, obviously you also violated Gezel because it's not your money. Because you're holding on to someone else's money. Is that true?
No.
Why not?
Because the Gemara says you're allowed to... Isn't there a sheet that says you're allowed to go and collect it and violate? I remember seeing...
Wait, no.
That it's, isn't it Yotzbe B'dayanim? Isn't there something that says the Yotzbe B'dayanim that I can go and collect...
Right. The Tanam say that it's ideal... for the lova to volunteer to pay, but the chas v'shalom malva can't press the issue. Adrabba, even the lova volunteers, the malva is mechuyev to say mishama any. The lova insists, but I still want to give it to you. So then,
which goes to show that the shvita doesn't cancel the loan; it just makes it not collectible.
It says you shouldn't collect it, but it's still there. If it wasn't there, so then there would be an isser. In other words, if there's no you know, there's got to be a loan there for me to say, I'm not going to collect it. If there's nothing there, so I'm not being Yotzei Mitzvah. So by definition, for me to be Yotzei Mitzvah, there's got to be something there. And in order for that to be there, so then in theory, if I go collect it, I'm collecting what's mine. I shouldn't.
So those are the two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is the loan exists. You owe me the money, but I have a mitzvah to let go of it. I have a mitzvah, let's even say it more strongly, I have a mitzvah to mochel the chov, and even if I haven't mochel the chov yet, I'm violating aveira if I collect that chov. The chov exists, but I'm not allowed to collect it. That's what the Menachas Chaim refers to in the earlier source of this, as afkaita, rooted in Gemara Bava Metzia. Afkaita the gavra. The gavra, the person, is letting go of the loan. I'm mechuyev to be mochel the loan. The other way of looking at it is not me, HaKadosh Baruch. The halacha cancels it. He doesn't owe me the money anymore. That's what we call afkaita the malka, the king. God canceled the loan. Shemitah came and went. The loan is gone.
It's machlokas whether he has to say Arayni Mishamit or not.
Maybe we'll talk about it more next week. And this gets us very deeply into sort of the process, the mitzvah of Shemitah Tzkafa. What is it? I'm the driver. I'm actually being mochel the chov, or the chov is disappearing on its own. I'm just respecting and playing by the rules. I'm respecting the fact that God canceled the law.
Let's go back to last book as a bayi rabba a little bit then, because if it's dinning mamonis. According to Rav, Dinei Mamonis became Hashem doesn't have control over Dinei Mamonis anymore. Dinei Mamonis are now in the hands of the people, and Beis Din has control of it, so people have the control of it. It's not Hashem doesn't have control over Dinei Mamonis anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would say you have to get that extreme there. Kadosh Baruch doesn't have control, but he does share his control with the Beis Din.
So right. Therefore, it's still, I would say. It's really Hashem, and never the only way around it was because it's now only the Rabbanah, and so it's a Sheval Tasa.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, right? What one reflection of this again? As I was saying before, this question of Afkaita de Gava versus Afkaita de Malka, is it a mitzvah for Mitzvah Mocha the Chov, or does the Chov disappear on its own? Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it disappear. So that corresponds more or less to Isura versus Mamona. Right. If the loan still exists, I have a mitzvah to be mochel it, and it's an aveir for me to collect it. But the loan is there until I delete it. Whereas, therefore, And therefore, and this is what they quote, the Urayim is the outlier on this. The Urayim says that Avar Vadava, if you went ahead and collected the loan, you keep it. You did not pay, you did wrong by collecting it, but the money is yours because the loan didn't disappear. You missed your chance to mekayim the mitzvah of Afkaita Degavra. Okay, you collected the money, too late. The money was yours, you were supposed to give it up. So, whereas probably Rov Rishonim say, no, Avar Vagava, like the Minchaschen takes their parshas. Avar Vagava, like Yehuda said, not only did I violate the mitzvah of Shemitah, I violated Gezel. Because the mitzvah of Shemitah tell me that the loan disappeared. So the loan disappeared, even if I go and get it, I took money from you under false pretenses. I made you pay money that you weren't mechuyev to pay. You want to give me a truly gift, that's fine, but there's no loan that needs collecting. Regards, I don't have to be mochel. It's afkaita de malka. Afkaita de malka, that's a mamonis issue. It's afkaita de malka. The halacha isn't just saying you have a mitzvah to be mochel. The halacha is saying the loan is gone. There's nothing to collect even if you try. It ain't there, in which case it's gezel. And that takes us back.
So what's Shamot? What? So what's Shamot? I mean, what's the mitzvah to say?
I have a mitzvah to play by the rules.
So what's the Ruach HaChanochim? Why is there this, if the loan really, is it just Kape the Lova that it's not?
Yes, you're trying hard to pull us into that mishnah, so I'm trying to hold off until next time. But I will tell you, there is some discussion about, do you have to give it B'Torah's Matana or not? Which may relate to this also. And if you say, if Kaiz the Malka, there is not, you're saying, there is no Chov. So what are you even giving? Say, anything short of Matana Gemura is going to be problematic. Whereas if the Chov exists, maybe...
So then why is the Chov give and take? Why can't the Malva just take it as a Matana? Why does he have to say, no, you don't know me, and then he has to... Why is there the Chov?
Yes, what's the nature of the... That's basically a drasha. We have to know what the nature of the drasha is. It's a Devar HaShmita. The Dibur HaShmita. There's a requirement for the... And that, by the way, goes back to you asking what's the mitzvah of Shamot. The mitzvah of Shamot is... Maybe that I have to actively formulate it. And even if you try paying me, I have to say, what is my saying? Is my saying sort of lekim adav lebir adav? I have to actually moko. No, I have to re-articulate.
Sounds like the chakir by kiddush. You know, like is kiddush just recognizing the reality of the day or creating something?
Right. And I'll be pashtus. It's just recognizing. Right? I have a chiyuv to articulate. And we have many such mitzvahs. Kriyashma. My Kriyashma doesn't make Hashem Echad, but I have a chiyuv to articulate my emunah. It will enhance my emunah.
Kiddush HaKodesh, on the other hand.
Right, creates a reality.
Maybe that's also the answer to Beis Yosef's question. Yosef, like you said, it's a suffix, but it depends on how you view it. If you look at it in this Chakira, maybe the way that he's saying is that's the underlying saying, hey, it's not really that. It's maybe, you know, once you talk about an issue, you can flip the reality, and therefore you're able to say, get the money.
Exactly. I believe that's what it's the simplest way. I believe Sefer Achronim suggests this, as does Elchanan, one of the Achronim.
I think I'll be more tachton, but
be that as it may. The simple understanding of the Beis Yosef and say, well, I'm not saying Motzim Rehav Arai because the Iker is the Isser. I mean, the Iker is the Isser, and to that we can apply Safra and Lakula. It sounds like he's saying that the Rosh thinks it's Afkaita to Gavra. So it's not Motzim Rehav Arai. The loan does exist. Just that you have a mitzvah to be mochel. Until you've been mochel, there's no Motzim Rehav Arai. You have a mitzvah to mochel. But if that mitzvah is only mitzvah drabanan, because mitzvah is stuff from Zanzah is drabanan, and we're not sure if you have that mitzvah or not, so then suffer ben lekula, don't be mochel. We're not going to tell you you have to be mochel. But if you were to assume... I would stress the one more angle here, Mirchas Chinuch points out, he quotes this, he makes a reference to the Rosh, but Yosef, he also points out the Rambam, who also, we said before, in the time of the Rosh, the Rambam, they're all lined up saying that Shemitah's Ksafim does not apply to Mavach HaVeir Asher Shanim. And here this comes back to, I forget who I had mentioned before, but Dreis Drabanan, this is what Minchas Chinuch says, the Rambam doesn't agree with the Rosh's logic. The Rambam and the Rosh agree that there's no Shemitah's Ksafim on a long-term loan. The Rambam can't agree with the Rosh's logic. Why? Because the Rambam had this din early in the Perek before he got to Shemitah Drabanan in Prisbal. This is part of the core dinim daraisa of Shemitah's Ksafim. So the Rosh says, yeah, we paskin Malachavir Esther Shanim and Shri Yisrael Tatu because the Rosh is saying the Torah Safik. The Rosh is saying it's a machlokas, two gears, two lashonos and shmuel, and I'm not really sure how to paskin. So if I'm not sure how to paskin, so if it was a daraisa Safik daraisa luchama, this is Rabban, Safik Rabban Lukula. But the Minchas Chinuch points that the Rambam is willing to say this on the level of Daraisa. And therefore, even though the Rambam doesn't give me his sources, he almost never gives me sources, but the Minchas Chinuch says, but I can deduce that the Rambam was saying this B'Torah Zvadai, not B'Torah Safik. This wasn't the Safik Rabban Lukula, because he understands this was true even when Shemitah Ksafim was Daraisa. As he says, it must be that he's aligned not with the Rosh, Brother Rabbi Tam himself, who had said the mashmos of the, not that I don't know what to do and I'm saying it misafik, that I look at the sugya, I look at the mishnah, and the impression I get is that I'm be machriya b'toras vadai. That's what Rabbi Tam said, and Mishnah says what supposed to be the Rambam is saying as well. That be machriya b'toras vadai, that's how we pass it. The ma'av chaver l'aser shanim ein shvius misham tato, because again, as the Gemara said. In the Lishna Basra, that if there's no lav, there's no mitzvah asay. If there's no negisa right now, and the lav is not in play at the moment that Shemitah would occur, because you can't be nogis anyways, so then there's no mitzvah asay, there's no Shemitah whatsoever, b'toras vada. Whether it's b'toras vada, b'toras safik, that's definitely how we paskin. In, again, in Sif Yud, the Mav B'chaver L'Esser Shonim, there is no Shemitah. Yeah, question. No.
What does the Minchas Chinuch talk about what he thinks the riff holds? Because that's part of what led the Beis Yosef to his... I mean, at least the way Beis Yosef formulates it, that led to Beis Yosef wondering how things work because he's not sure exactly how the riff holds.
Right. And...
I was just wondering, because you say, does the Minchas Chinuch say what he thinks the riff doesn't mention this at all, doesn't mention Esther Sonim at all. That's what the riff says. That one Shita said that he thinks the riff holds like Galishna Kama.
Right.
And he goes, I don't think so. I think the riff really held like the Shabbastra, even though the riff doesn't mention it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he Dafka thinks of the Shabbastra as much as he's just not convinced. The Rabbeinu Yeruchim says... The fact that the riff didn't quote either Lashon, obviously it was like Lishna Kama, that there is no separate concept. This is like any other loan, and that's why he didn't talk about it.
Doesn't the Rambam, by definition, always hold like Lishna Basra? Zenikam was an intus alone, and the Rambam passes like those intus alone.
Oh, well, Chana makes a good point. It could be that he's...
If you have a choice, and you have no Machriya, you have no idea... The Rambam always goes like the Bishul Basra, but for another reason. Every time you have those 15 in Tibet Salomar, blah, 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 he passes like each one of them, and he goes in a pattern. So here, maybe the Rambam Lashitas is just passing, listen, I don't know. I think Rabbi Eliyahu was wrong. I disagree with Rambam Beinu Tam. Rambam Beinu Tam is saying, I'm looking at it objectively. I don't have a psak. I look at the Mishnah. I make my own reading. Great. The Rambam is saying, no, if I have 2 days, I go passing like the day of Basra. And that's where the Rambam's coming out with this halacha. I think it's different than the way you're...
Ah, okay, so you're making a very... I'll try to make a good point, 1 second. So in terms of the riff says, Rei Yerucham Meyadiyak, and he's not convinced. I'm not sure, though... I'm not sure that the question of Vader is Suffolk. He does, the Rif, Bezos does mention his Suffolk issue. He said, well, if we're not really sure, then I already told you before. If we're not sure, then we should misafik. The Kali HaSafik pushes in the direction of Lishna Basra. And you were saying...
Saying the Rambam always passes like
Lishna Basra
in general.
Right. Al-Khana points out there are three reasons that you could pass the Lishna Basra. The Rush says you could pass the Lishna Basra in Misafik. The Rebbeinu Tam said I pass the Lishna Basra b'Toras Vaday because I look at the evidence in Chazal. And then Al-Khana pointed out I could also pass the Lishna Basra based on Klali HaPsak. The Riva had passed like a Lishna Kama based on Kol HaPsak.
Right.
But that's an old machlokas, I think the Rosh Hashanah quotes from the Gaonim.
Goes to the Gaonim, have that damage.
Okay.
I think the Rambam is the Shidasa, the way you
okay.
set it up.
That's a good point.
I would say, across the board, the Rambam is saying, hey, this is what I think. Meaning Lishna Basra, absent any other Makriya.
That is a good point. That's a good point. Let's end with this. The hour is not early. Baruch Hashem. Let's end with this. We spoke about so far two different categories. Let's end with a third that may or may not relate. We spoke about, let's say, one category of loans that are impervious to Shemitah is the ones that have to do with the structure. We spoke specifically for a little bit about Mashkon. Then another question was a question of the timing of the loan. And that's this discussion about Mavas Chaver L'Asur Shanim. And the machlok is Amarah, machlok is Shomar HaPaskin, and then a further machlok is why you would pass, for based on what rationale would you be machriya. We saw that also related to the Afkaita de Gavra, Afkaita de Malka, Isur versus Mamona issue. The one other category is you have a several seifim here based on the first two Mishnayos and the last pack of Shvias. That sometimes certain types of obligations, if I owe you money for a particular reason, that doesn't lend itself to Shemitah. Prominent among them is Hakafas Chanos. Mishnah says that if I buy on credit, I have store credit. Store credit, the Mishnah says, does not get canceled. Well, I'm a little bit of in terms of the details, but Hakafas Chanos does not get canceled. Hakafas Chanos does not get canceled.
Why is it not just
Vim Zak? What?
It's a Mashko. The fact you ate it, I understand, but at the end of the day, I gave you $100 credit, you took 100 apples. So, right? Isn't that what we're talking
for
about
a
here?
First, Mashko.
No. You have both. You have apples
have
and...
No, but I now have the apples and I owe him $100.
Right.
Yeah, Mashkon is where the...
First Mashkon.
The Mashkon is where the creditor holds
it. Creditor holds it. You're holding it.
No, but I'm saying is that I'm taking... Oh, you're right. Yeah, so there's a reverse.
It's reverse Mashkon.
When you actually buy something, then assets and funds cross paths. But here... It's Adrava. Everything is going in the same direction, which is why there's an outstanding obligation. But there is discussion in terms of what. So the Mishnah says that Hakavas Chanos is in Shvius Misham Tatu, but in Zakaval B'milva, the Shvius is Mishamik. That's what Shulchan Aruch quotes here. Sif Yudalid. Hakafas Chanos Eina Mishametas. Zakval of the Milva Mishametas. If you were, what does that mean? You stood it up as a halva. You stood it up as a halva.
So the categorize it. Now it's a loan.
So the Ramaz quotes the Rush. The Rush says, both in his Pirush on the Mishnayos and in the Piskei Rush in Gittin, that means that I set a time for a payment. As you've been buying, I've been writing everything down in the book, but at a certain point I say, Yid, here's your total, $236, and you have a week. So once I do that, a month, whatever it is, but once I set a time, so then at that point, now this chov, if I did Zekifas Milva before the end of Shana Sashmita, then Shana Sashmita will when it comes, the end of Shnat Shmita will cancel the loans. There is a machlokes. I leave you with this. A machlokes. Why? A machlokes. A machlokes. What? So Tosis in Gittin says what Ochan was suggesting, that the only time you have to, the Torah says Shamot Kol Baal Mashe Yado, and the Mashmaos says that it's a loan. Shmita's Ksafim is on loans. This is not a loan. Why do I owe you money? They're met often in learning Dinim Amunas. We differentiate between different Mechayvim. I could owe you money for a variety of reasons. I could owe you money because you worked for me. I could owe Dmei Schiros. I could owe you money because of Dmei Mekka. You gave me assets, I have to pay for them. I could owe you money because I broke your window. I could owe you money because I stole from you. I could owe you money because you lent me money. Sometimes the reason why I owe you money is irrelevant, but sometimes we differentiate. Let's say later in Maseches Gittin, what sort of assets I have to use to repay the loan? If I'm paying back with real estate, so if I owe you money because of Nezek, I have to pay with Meitav. I owe you money for a different reason. I pay, you know, that's how the sort of goods, the sort of assets that are acceptable for repayment, that there we differentiate between different types of chobos. Or let's give a din d'oraisa, a simple, that's also din d'oraisa. Or let's say, how much time I have to pay back. The Torah says, specifically, if I owe you money because you worked for me, if it's Schiros Polim, Biyom Otitin Schoros, special mitzvah d'oraisa to pay on that day. That's unique to specifically Tashlum and Schiros Polim as opposed to other types of Tashlum. So one approach is that's what's going on here as well. The Din of Shmita's Ksafim is only on Chov, only on Halva. I borrowed money, then I have to... Then there's a din of shmitas klafim. If I owe you money, if the chiyuv tashlumin, the sibas hachiyuv is not a halva, the sibas hachiyuv instead is demei hamekach or something else. The Mishnah talks about tzchiras polim. I haven't paid. I'm your employer. I haven't paid you your salary yet. The shmita comes and goes. Don't worry about it. The shmita doesn't cancel it. So one approach. That's the approach of Tosfos and earlier in Gittin Daf Yuches. The Minchas Chinuch, I think, is the one who points out that it already appears in the Sefrei. If it's not a halva, then it doesn't lend itself to Schiras Polim. It doesn't lend itself to Shmitas Ksafim. It's a little tricky what you do with Zekifas Milva. Meaning, I owe you money because I haven't paid you for all the groceries that I bought. So I don't owe you money because of the halva. I owe you money because of the dmei hamekach. So the fact that you gave me a week to pay back, how does that change anything? It doesn't make it a halva. So according to the Rosh, according to this approach, you're going to have to say that like Yehuda was saying, it's a restructuring. Or we're sort of redoing the. When I say I total everything up, say okay, you have a week to pay back to $234. It's no longer has its original identity of Dmei Mekach. Now it's converted not to halva but to a chov stam. I'm sort of rephrasing it as just a loan, short of any particular flavor. And you're gonna have to say that Shmita's Ksafim applies to specifically halva or more generally to chov stam. But if it has any other identity other than halva, if it's Dmei Mekach, if it's Schiras Polim, so then it doesn't lend itself to Shmita's Ksafim. And Zekifas Milva is sort of shearing off any, sort of neutralizing it. Just making a chov stam. I'm recasting it as a chov stam. The other approach is how many of the Nosei Kelim understand the Rambam, the Beis Yosef, both in Beis Yosef on the Torah and in the Kesem Mishnah on the Rambam. They say maybe this is actually an application of the previous din. Maybe it's like Malva Chaver Lasser Shanim. They say, look, you have store credits. They usually Nog Shiva Olam, they let it roll for a while. They're not coming after you tomorrow. Sooner or later, you gotta, you know, right, you're gonna have to clear it up. but we're not coming after you tomorrow. That's usually the way stores that extend credit work. So it's like Mavah Chaver, Lesser Shabbos, not Nitin Legisa. You owe the money, but it's not payable. So Shemitah came and went, and no one said anything to you. So then it's like Mavah Chaver, Lesser Shanim. Even though you may have bought the groceries 6 months before, 18 months before, but yeah, the assumption is eventually you'll pay. He can't come to you, or he wouldn't come to you. Not exactly, he can't come to you, but he wouldn't come to you. So that's how. That's how the Beis Yosef wants to understand B'das HaRambam. So then Zakfim Milva is Gishmak. Because one time Zakfim Milva said, Bubala, you owe me the money.
It's kind of like a credit card statement. Like, until you get the statement, like, you don't really owe the money.
This is like a quantum mechanics approach to finance. Until you've observed it, and I was like, it's like a Schrodinger's cat. I do owe the money. I don't owe the money. Right, then you get the... They get this answer shy. Did you really owe the money beforehand? Or is this a probability clip?
What would happen if the store owner doesn't say,
It's even more than that. It's not that by nailing it down, it's not just we're nailing it down, but it's now I'm putting you on notice that you owe the money in a very practical, maybe this is what you're saying. You owe the money in a very specific, defined way. I expect payment. So now it is Nitan L'Negisa. It's no longer this sort of fluid, that's what you're saying. It's no longer this fluid amorphous, yeah, at some point you'll pay me back. We're done with that. I just Zakifas Milva is saying, no, I want you to pay me now. Or maybe not now, give me a week, but now it's not just that I converted the Chal Hashem, as we no longer label it as a Chiyav Demei HaMekach, now we label it as a Chov, it's that it's no longer in the world of Malvus Chaver El Sushanim. Now it is. Now it is Nitan L'Negisa. The Sma on the side of Shulchan Aruch points out Halacha L'Maisa. This actually chaps nafkin Halacha L'Maisa. Because according to the Beis Yosef, it's a Ma, and the Beis Yosef himself points this out in a different way. The Beis Yosef understanding the Rambam is a much more limited. It's not all the Dmei HaMekach, as the Sma points out. If you have a store that extends credit, we have a tab, and you buy and you buy and you buy, and eventually we have to clear accounts. Yeah, that's sort of open-ended. But if I came and I bought something, but it didn't pass, I'll bring you money tomorrow, I'll bring you money eventually, that's not Hakafas Chanos, this Ma says. According to the Rosh, it's Meh Mekach. It's impervious to Shemitah stuff. But if you take this Rambam approach, it's only because it's loose and vague, and you'll pay eventually. But if it's not an open account, I came, I bought one item once, and I said, I have to pay. I'm sorry, I don't have money on me. I'll have to pay you. That's not open-ended. You owe me the money. You should have paid me on the spot. But you didn't have money, so you're going to come back and pay me. So, yes, it's a chiyuv d'mei hamekach, of course, but it's not vague. You owe the money right now. It's not a credit type of... situation. Whereas according to the Rosh, he calls it Shuvas HaRosh. That sounds like in general, whenever it's not a halva'a, there's no Shmitzas Ksafim. It's not just about Hakafas Hanos and in Schiras Polim, where oftentimes you wait a while to get paid. He says other things also. He says if there was a Shutvas that was breaking up and we hadn't worked out all the, here we have a lawyer. So it could be messy and it could take time to work out, you know, all the assets and who owes what to whom. We didn't work it out before Shemitah was over. So the Rosh says that the Shemitah's covenant doesn't apply. It's not a halva, it's a shutfas. That means it's not a halva, it's a shutfas. So the Beis Yosef understands, means the Rosh says, yeah, like Tosfos and Gittin. What's the Mechayev? It's only, Shemitah's covenant only applies when there's a halva or a chostam. So again, on the one hand, Zakifas Milva requires a little more fancy footwork to explain how Zakifas Milva changes anything. It's because you're restructuring, you're relabeling the loan. But on the other hand, then it explains it's a very versatile approach. The Mishnah had all these different types of chiyuvim that don't lend themselves to Shemitah's Ksafim. The Hakafas Chanos and the Schar Sachir and Knossos Onus Mefate Motzi Shemra. So for Tosus and Gittin and the Rosh, yeah, It's all one shot. It's not a halva. For the Rambam, you have to explain, well, this is part because you start going piecemeal. So that becomes a little more complicated. On the other hand, the power of the Rambam's approach is the Kifas Milva. It's beautiful. It's not a because it was vague and loose, that's why it didn't let such music soften. If you tighten things up and say, here's the amount and here's the date, you converted the label, you convert the nature of the obligation to something that's real and actionable, and is no longer amorphous, and it lends itself to Shemitah's Ksafim. So we had a chance to explore some of the, except at the beginning of the parak, some of the exceptions to Shemitah's Ksafim. We looked specifically at Malvus Chaver al Mashkam, and Malvul Eser Shanim, and Hakafas Chanos, which may be an example of Malvul Chaver al Eser Shanim, or maybe a whole Nudin, based on the Xeris HaKasif. Going forward, we're going to explore the end of the parak, how Shemitah's Ksafim works. If there is time, I would love to explore Prusbul as well, the middle of the parak, middle of parak Yud.